From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Warchant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up Warchant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. One ball, Corner
Pocket. Now here's Warchant.com's Ass on Hunch of Andy
and Corey Clark.
Que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez, suavemente. Bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez, suave. Bésame, bésame.
Wake up! It's Wake Up Warchant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, 25 minutes with James Tibbs III. We ask him about how awesome it is to be awesome at baseball and a whole lot of other stuff. Wake Up Warchant, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill and our great friends over at VitaminEnergy.com. This show, presented in somewhat limited commercial interruptions. Again, this is Aslan, everybody. I am still on vacation. I don't say that to like be coy or patronizing, because I appreciate y'all working and using your hard-earned money to go to Corner Pocket Bar and Grill or VitaminEnergy.com, using the promo code WarChantBogo, or going to WarChant.com and subscribing. You should be over at WarChant.com for all the latest and greatest news in the world of college football, especially that deals with Florida State. So this has been recorded, me talking, several days in advance, so I'm not even sure what's happened. Maybe Florida State's out of the ACC by now. Huh? That'd be great, right? Get off the boat, get off the plane, like, hey, Aslan, they're in the SEC now. I hope. I'm not sure. I think ACC meetings, spring meetings, Amelia Island are going down this week. If so, Irish OFL probably out there. And we got a whole bunch of information over at warchant.com. So log on. All the information that you need is over there. That said, we're starting and continuing our interview series. Today's show is just like 25 minutes with James Tibbs. We had him the other day, last week, before the Pitt series. So hopefully we didn't put any kind of jinx on him. And hopefully he's doing fine health-wise. But what a great guy. Obviously, with finals being in the books now, these guys can just focus on ball. So you could kind of tell he was a little bit more relaxed, not having to worry about class. So, super great. Corey got a couple questions in there, I think, wanting to glean and how he's going to raise Brady for these next few years so he can maybe be as good as James Tibbs. I don't know. We'll see if he gave us enough information to transform Brady's life. But I think it'll be a good 25 minutes of your day. So sit back and enjoy Corey Clark and myself talking to James Tibbs III. All right, we got James Tibbs on the show. We said it. He's here. Hopefully you're watching this on YouTube, everybody. You can see his palatial setup. What's that sign behind you, James? Tibbs Drive? Tibbs Road?
Tibbs Road, yeah. My grandparents used to have a farm in Dalton, Georgia, and the road is Tibbs Road. And so my parents made a sign that said Tibbs Road and gave it to all of us. So my sister and I both have one. It's something that we both hold pretty special to us. So
yeah, that's cool.
Pretty cool.
All right, so I like to always ask guys about recruiting stories. I know things are a little bit different when it comes to baseball, but for you being from the state of Georgia, not too far away from Tallahassee, but what's the decision process like? What was it like for you in high school, knowing the options that you had, what you were looking for, and ultimately, you know, made you come to Florida State? Who else was maybe in the mix for you, and what do you remember from that experience in your life?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. It was pretty early on, so freshman, sophomore years kind of when it – eighth grade through freshman year is when it really heated up, and then I committed in the fall of my sophomore year. School, obviously, Georgia schools, Georgia Tech, had some Clemson, had some Tennessee in there, some Miami, stuff like that. But, you know, feel like Florida State was where I wanted to be. It's where, you know, great hitters come to develop and go play pro ball and get an opportunity to go play professionally and be the best they can be. And so I'm really bought into that, really bought into the history of Florida State. And that's kind of what led me down here to Florida State. I'm very thankful for it. This place is, it's been amazing for me. It's changed my life. So extremely thankful for that.
Did you, obviously you were, I'm sure you were a good hitter when you could barely walk. But did you know that like the recruiting started that early where they would be looking at you as coming out of middle school almost, or as a freshman? Were you surprised, even though I'm sure you were on elite travel ball teams and yeah, playing in all these national tournaments, you were barely a teenager. So yeah, were you surprised?
No, not really. I mean, I'd seen everybody, you know, that had been older than me kind of go through it. And so,
did you play at East Cobb, by the way? Were you East Cobb kid?
Yeah. Okay. East Cobb. Yeah. So, you know, all those guys obviously been through it. You know, I several friends that were already committed in like eighth, ninth grade. And so it was pretty wild to kind of walk through that and see all that. And so it really hit me quick. It really kind of started quick, but it was something that, you know, it was kind of mind blowing, to be quite honest with you. You know, I was hoping just to play anywhere, and to have the opportunities that I did were pretty surreal, I would say. So
did you, if people that are listening to this know that I have a son that's come up through the baseball travel ball system and all that, he ain't you. We hope he could go somewhere, but he ain't you. But did you ever play rec ball, or were you a travel ball kid when you were like six?
Yeah. Well, okay. So yeah, I played rec ball. I played rec ball from four at my church, five at a local park, and then six and seven as well. Played travel ball in the summer, technically Dizzy Dean type stuff. And so played that for 3 years, and then went over to East Cobb and played for East Cobb at eight. So, I mean, I was still kicking around 50 to 70 games at five, six, and seven. Once we got to eight, it was pretty much year round. You know, when I got the opportunity to go play football or baseball or basketball, it was something that I thoroughly enjoyed getting a break from, for sure.
James, are there like home videos of you like in a onesie dragging around like a wiffle ball bat? Like, how early were you introduced to the game of baseball?
Yeah, I really don't know. We've actually never talked about that. I don't think my parents did a lot of video growing up. I don't know even how many swings I had that are recorded growing up. You know, one memory I have, I'll give you this little quick story. When I was 4 years old, we were playing at my church, and I was the only one that knew how to catch. And so I was playing first base, and they'd throw it to me, and I'd tag the base, and he'd be out, and the kid would stay at first. And I remember looking at my dad and being like, "Dad, he's out. Like, why is he still on first base?" And dad's like, "Just shut up. It's rec ball. They don't know how to play yet."
T-ball.
And which is funny now, but looking back on it, I was so furious with the fact that nobody else was out. But it was definitely something that I enjoyed growing up. You know, a lot of fun.
You should have been looking at the umpires as a 4 year old going like this, like, "What? Hey, go to replay. Come on, man. There's video of this somewhere."
Yeah, I don't even think there were umpires. That's how how small it was, but it was fun for sure.
Can you? And again, this is coming from a dad of a baseball player, but I'm asking you because you're obviously an elite hitter, and you've been a very, very good hitter for a long time. How much do you think, now that you've been a pretty competitive baseball player for 15 years, think it's natural? How much is it as God-given, a natural ability to see things quickly, to fire everything that needs to be fired to get a barrel to a ball? And how much can it be improved? How much is just constant work in trying to get better?
Well, I'll tell you, in my opinion, there's parts of the game that people are really good at. I would say that I have pretty decent eye-hand coordination. I have the ability to, I have quick hands, you know. So those are the things that I feel like the Lord blessed me with.
And you've always had them, right? You think like you've always had them.
I would believe so, yeah. But I don't think that's – I think part of that is what we did growing up. So we did a lot of heavy bag drills, a lot of small bat golf ball drills. And you know, I took 400 swings a day for – you know, 6-7 years. Like, there was nothing that I didn't work for, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, I think there's a natural part of it, but I think it's a combination of the two. You know, there's no question that the Lord blessed me with these things, but there was work that, you know, we put in every single day. You know, the whole mindset for me was, Bryce Harper was taking 500 swings a day, and he was saying, "Nobody's better than me. Nobody's working harder than me." So like for me, my attitude was, okay, nobody's going to be working harder than me. You know what I mean? And so that was kind of the way that we went about our business and how we worked for it. And there was a plethora of other things that we did throughout my childhood that kind of helped me, you know, continue to grow in those parts of my game.
Put that all in a book and sell it, James. So don't get it all the way here. But like, was there a moment for you, like driving back from a travel ball tournament or after dinner, just hanging out with your parents, where like your dad kind of grounds you in the reality that you have these abilities, you have this talent, you can do this? Or was it just becoming a player in high school and seeing all these letters come in the mail that made you kind of think and click that, yeah, I really can pursue my passion of playing baseball to the next level?
Yeah, I think that it's a combination. You know, I wanted to quit multiple times. I was like 12, 14, 13, 13. I didn't feel like I was one of the best players on the team. And so I was like, I'm done. Like, I'm not hitting well. Like, I want to be done. Dad gave me an ultimatum and he said, never quit when you're on the bottom, quit when you're on the top. And so that's kind of what helped me just kind of stay through it. And then I'd get to the top and be like, I love it. I love it. I can't, you know, there's no way. Right. So it's kind of, you know, some things I always hit really well. I always hit, you know, well above 400 and had a lot of home runs and all that stuff. And then got to high school, got way harder. Again, after freshman year, it was really tough. I think I hit like maybe 200 with like three home runs. It was just a bad year. And so, you know, there was times where I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't do this anymore. And then there's other times where it's like, okay, like maybe I can do this. You know, it happened a lot, but I think all of those kind of molded me into, you know, understanding how this works at a much, you know, bigger level than just the surface level, you know, looking at it from my point of view at this moment.
You also, as you grow up, you understand, and it is it's a cliche, but it's a game of failure. I mean, even the best ones that have ever done it make out 60% of the time. But when you're as good as you are as a 9-year-old and you're hitting probably 8-11, you're not used to going to playing better people, and then maybe you're only hitting 380 or 410. Yeah. But to you, it feels like you're in a horrible slump. So how did you finally get adjusted to failure?
Failing more. I mean, yeah. The reality is just like you don't really understand how to deal with failure until you can actually sit there and take control of it and be like, hey, look, I'm not doing well. This is nobody's fault. I'm not going to be the victim here. Like, this is my fault. I'm not playing well. Let's figure out why. Let's figure out what we need to do and how we can change it as quick as possible. You know, I don't remember who said it, but it was some degree of like, yeah, like I'm going to slump, but the point is to minimize that slump, right? Right. So that's my goal every day is like, all right, well, if I'm not doing well, if I'm on a 0-for, you know, streak right now, which I haven't been doing too hot of late, right? So right now for me, it's like, okay, how do I minimize this? How do I put together good at-bats? You know, it all starts with simplifying the process. My high school coach always said, it's the process, the process, the process, the process. And so the process creates results, right? If you have a good process, sometimes it's not going to go your way. But reality is that you're going to feel better about it going into your next at-bat. And so part of my whole thought process is like, okay, how do I make sure that I'm being extremely cognizant of, you know, my pregame routine, my at-bats, my thought process, my approach, all those things to help give myself the best chance? Yeah, I'm still going to get myself out. I'm still going to struggle. But how can I minimize the bad results and just be able to put together quality at-bats, you know, quality days at the field, quality batting practice? You know, all those things help create more confidence and in turn kind of create a stronger belief in yourself at the plate, you know, when you go to the plate every day.
And are you good at separating as you've gotten older? Like, man, sometimes the guy just made a good pitch.
Yeah,
like, these are good players, man. Like sometimes he just paints the black, or that's a nasty pitch that I wasn't ready for. I'm still an awesome hitter.
Yeah, I mean it happens all the time. I mean I can name plenty of those. I mean, and it's something that you just sit there and you're like, well, I mean, he got me. There's definitely times where I've sat there and laughed at myself and been like, man, he really like just smoked me right there. It happened early on in the season. I swung a bad pitch. I think it was against Notre Dame. Struck out in like three pitches, and they were some of the nastiest pitches I've ever seen in college. And I was sitting there and I'm like, okay, like, you know, I'm not mad about it. I struck out, whatever. Yeah. You know, he made good pitches, so like, good for him. But yeah, it happens. But more often than not, it's you getting yourself out, right? And it's
right.
Figuring out ways to minimize those things, figure out ways to control the controllables. I know these are all such cliches, but it's so true. You know, and that's part of what's frustrating sometimes is you get yourself out, right? And you got to figure out how to not do that. So it's definitely tough.
James, it seems like no matter the process, you've gotten better every single season you've been here in Tallahassee. What has it been like year two now with Coach Jarrett? I know Meat obviously thought the world of you and you did quite well under his approach, but his approach is seemingly vastly different than what Coach Jarrett wants to get done at the plate. For you, has it been a more natural, comfortable feel this year in terms of, I guess, an aggressive approach? Coach Jarrett the other day on a Zoom was kind of just bragging on all you guys for being so aggressive out there and only a certain percentage of your guys at bats ever getting to two strikes. I mean, how much has that been a part of your success this year?
Yeah, it's been a big part. I mean, I think we understand how to do controlled damage. Controlling the plate, controlling our at bats, our approaches, and knowing what we're going up there to do. He gave me a pretty good pretty good talking to after, or it was in between the fall and the spring. So our exit meetings, I just had labrum surgery after freshman year. And so I hadn't played the fall, and I went into my exit meeting and was like, look, coach, I just need to do me, like do what I can do. And that's, you know, being aggressive on pitches in the plate and, you know, being able to fight with two strikes, spread out battle. And so he was like, hey, just go do what makes you good. And that's, I think, what's so amazing about Coach Jerry is, yeah, he's got approaches. He's got things that, you know, he's going to give you tips. But at the end of the day, he's going to let you do what you feel like is comfortable and what's going to make you the best hitter that you can be. And I think that's just a testament to why he's had such good teams in the past, why he's made it to Omaha, why he's won Coach of the Year. Because he understands that at some point to let hitters just be themselves and figure it out, right? And that's been something that I didn't really expect and really know that that was going to happen. And so when I experienced it, I was like, that's one of the first times the coaches ever looked at me and said, just do what makes you good. And that was pretty surreal, pretty fantastic thing for him to say. And, you know, that's one of the things that I'll bring up at some point later on this year.
Yeah, James, speaking of Link and just this team, because we want to get on to the current team. First off, when you come to Florida State, you don't expect to go through the first 2 years you went through as a team. Was there any thought about in this era where everybody switches all the time and you've got a lot of brand new teammates, were you worried that it was never going to be a good team at Florida State in your 3 years? What gave you, I guess, the confidence to hang around and this thing would turn around like it has?
Yeah, it's two words, Link Jarrett. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. That's the best there is. And I had the utmost confidence in him to figure this out. I didn't know if it would have been this year. I wasn't necessarily sure, but I was all in to figure it out regardless. You know, I wanted to be a part of the team that brought it back, and the guys he's brought in, Daniel Cantu, Jackson West, McGuire Holbrook, Alex Lodis, Drew Ferreau, you know, Max Williams, and I can go on and on. Short
Marco,
Yoel, Marco, yeah, all these guys have been so good, right? And it's just been such a blessing to be a part of. Coming to the field every day and getting to watch those guys go to work, the way they go about their business, the way they compete. I have gotten a front row seat at the coolest turnaround in college baseball this year, and I could not be more thankful to be here. Yeah, you hear all the rah-rah and the moving on and the transfer portal, and it's like, that's cool and all, but Florida State is Florida State. We will always be Florida State, you know, and that freshman year team was really good. We just made some mistakes, and then last year obviously speaks for itself. But this year's team is unbelievable and probably one of the best teams I've ever been on, if not the best team. That, you know, I think Marco said a couple weeks ago, it's like it's a bunch of three-hole hitters hitting in a nine-person lineup. And that's truly what it feels like. Anybody can come up clutch at any moment. It takes pressure off everybody. Just let them just do their thing. And I'm the one hitting the three hole, but I feel like there's a three hole in front of me, behind me, and everywhere else in the lineup. And it's just so cool to watch that transpire, the way those dudes go about their business, how hard they work. It's one of a kind. And I know there's a lot of good offices in college baseball. I'd put us up there with the best of them. I think it's that good.
Did you know, obviously Cam had a great summer at the Cape after having a good freshman year, not a great one, but a good one. And then he really took off in the Cape. Cantu had done things in college. Ferreau, Lodis, Jackson West, even all the Alex Williams, they had played high level Division I baseball. Marco had not. And Marco, I keep bringing him up on the show almost daily. He is one of the best hitters in the country. It's crazy because he was the one where Link would talk about him in the preseason. I'm like, yeah. What about Cantu? I was like, I don't even know who Marco Dingus is. When did you know, okay, this is not a normal bat. This is a guy that could really contribute.
Yeah. I watched him take BP. So the BP groups in the fall, I think it was the same. I think it was Cam, Jaime, and Marco. And I remember watching their BPs and it was sick to watch. I mean, just unbelievable. And I was like, cool, all right. He's got, you know, light tower power. He's got some of the most juice I've ever seen. Whatever, cool. Let's go see him, you know, play the game. And then he goes out there and just smacks every ball. He's hitting balls 110. He's taking balls the other way. He's not striking out a bunch. And I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, like this is unbelievable. Like, you know, and I'm watching it, and then he's yapping at me and Jaime about home runs and we're all competing for the most home runs in the fall and then all this stuff. And I'm sitting like, this dude can hang with the best of them. He is that good. And to watch him go up there and compete, it's freaking awesome. I mean, just a fantastic human being. You know, I know he gets fiery and you might not see that. You might see that from an outside perspective, but the kid is, could not be a nicer guy. Could not be a better teammate. And he is, he's the guy you want to go to war with. He's just a fantastic human being. And I've absolutely loved being on a team with that kid. I think I actually might go hit with him here in a little bit.
Oh, nice.
He's just a great guy. And, you know, to watch him slowly figure it out as the season's progressed has been unbelievable. And, man, what a, you know, what a testament to Coach Jarrett and what he's, you know, what he saw in them and letting him come in here and figure it out. And he's done exactly what we hoped he would do. So
now does his uniform top, does it just not come with a button up top?
Yeah.
Or does he just takes them off, or do they just make them special for Marco?
Yeah. Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine there. you know, they're all about the drip. I love it. It's hilarious. But yeah, he plays with a flair. He plays with a chip on his shoulder, and it's evident. He's a fiery one, and it has been amazing to be a part of that. So,
well, in your whole team, I'm glad you mentioned this. I wanted to get to this. Last year, you know, there wasn't a lot of reason to be excited, but it didn't seem like y'all had a lot of excitable personalities on the team. And then literally the first game of the year, Cam Leiter strikes out a kid from, who did y'all play, Butler?
Yes.
And he's barking and talking and yapping, yep, and pumping his fist. Cantu hits home runs and stares down pitchers. Marco talks, you know, talks the second baseman at Miami. Like, it just, and there is an edge to you guys. Do you like that? Because you don't play with one like they, though. I know you have some of that in you, but they seem to have brought a little extra, which I think it works for you guys. It works in y'all's favor most of the time.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, it's an attitude of, we're going to go out there and we're going to get this done. And one way or another, somebody's going to come up clutch. Somebody's going to do it. And it's evident, right? It's evident the way we play. We play hard. We play hard-nosed. We have a confidence within ourselves that we're going to figure out a way to compete. We're going to figure out a way to win. You know, there's dates and games that are marked on our calendar that we're like, let's freaking go. Let's get after it. Like, we're ready. We're bringing everything, you know, we got. And it's amazing. You know, it's definitely not my type of game. I'm more of a quiet and just go about my business type, but it's made me want to get fiery. It's made me want to get after it. And so it's been amazing. That's just a testament to their level of competitiveness and their fire and their want and will to win. It's, you know, second to none. And, you know, I can't say I dislike it because I love it. It's amazing. Yeah, it's going to ruffle some feathers. It's going to, you know, the traditionalists aren't necessarily going to love it, and that's fair. I'm more of a traditionalist myself, but when you sit there every day and you watch these guys compete, you watch them play, and you watch them do what they do and the level of work they put in to go out there and do that, I got no problem with it at all.
I feel like Link's probably a traditionalist too, but he seems to give you guys a latitude to go out there and show your personality.
Yeah. Yeah, he is for sure. He definitely does enjoy it. I think, you know, to a degree, right? Obviously we don't need to be going and getting thrown out, but there's been some times where we've gotten close, but we also know when to reel it in and figure out and just go about and focus and get our stuff done. But it's been amazing. It's super fun to watch. I don't know how it is on TV, but from the game, I sit there and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball. And that's the truth. Like, I've never had more fun playing baseball in my life, watching these guys play and watching them go about their business.
Are you ever thinking, so like, oh man, we might be fighting in about 30 seconds? Like, this is right up on the razor's edge of, okay, this might go somewhere.
Yeah, there's been one or two times against rivals that I won't, you know, go out of my way to name, but against a couple of them early and late in the year, that I've been like, yeah, there's a chance that we're going to have to go throw people away from others. So, yeah, definitely some nerve wracking points, but I think that, we're able to reel it in when we need to.
James, appreciate you taking time out. Just one last thing from Adam. I don't know if you can give us maybe like an anecdotal story about Coach Jarrett. I didn't play a lot of baseball growing up. I didn't play any baseball growing up. I didn't watch a lot of baseball growing up, but listening to him talk, he just seems so knowledgeable and so confident in his approaches. I'd follow that man to the end of the world. And again, like he could tell me to put a
me
a
too.
Helmet on. He could tell me to put a helmet on backwards and set the left batter's box and tell me that's the best thing to do. And I'd believe him. Just what has he brought to you guys overall, and just how I guess, you know, appreciative are you of what he's been able to accomplish for you guys this year?
Yeah. There's a couple, and I can't remember the movie off the top of my head. Every once in a while, he'll come in the meeting room, and we have meetings before practice for games, and he'll give us something, give us a quote. And it's a quote about, it's a military movie, guys, and he's, he did something wrong, so he's in court, and he's sitting there. Men? What's that?
A Few Good Men?
Maybe A Few Good Men. And he says, don't look at him! And it's just things like that. Or he'll bring a whistle out to practice and start blaring the whistle. It's just funny things like that that he does that kind of keeps the day light. But it makes you enjoy those moments even more. And just enjoy the grind of college baseball. So he's really good at figuring out when to kind of let loose and give us a little bit of just fun and laughter in a pretty tense season, I would say. So he's pretty fantastic. He's one of one for sure.
James, I wanted to ask, my last question was, obviously you've got goals at Florida State, Omaha. You want to go to Omaha. You want to win a regional. You want to go to a super regional. You haven't been to a super regional in your career. It'd be awesome if you're hosting at Hauser. That's what we all want. Make that happen. But how do you, as somebody that has dreamed of playing professional baseball your whole life, not get too anxious to get to that next step? How do you stay in the moment, keep your feet in Tallahassee, and not think about whenever that – I think it's the All-Star break is when they have the draft. I don't remember when the draft is. But you know your name is going to be called fairly early in that thing. How do you keep your feet in Tallahassee in this team and in this current environment, knowing what's waiting for you after you're done?
Yeah. There's a Bible verse in Proverbs. I think it's 16:9. It says, a man plans his path, but the Lord establishes his steps. And that's – been a big part of my, you know, thought process going on. I know, there's a lot of talk and rah-rah. I'd be lying if I said I didn't hear it. And the reality is I get in Florida State to go to Omaha to win a national championship. Now, regardless of if that happens or not, my focus is with these guys. It's with this team. It's with bringing Florida State back to the level that Florida State has always been at, right? And that's premier college baseball. That's being on ESPN late in June. That's doing all these things, winning championships, whatever that may be. My goal when I came to Florida State, when I committed, was to win a national championship, something we haven't done here. And that is my number one priority right now. I have no other thoughts, you know, towards any of that. I'm not looking forward to it. All I want to do is win. And that's the truth. Like, I'm not lying when I say that. There's no part of me that believes that's not true. I love this place. I love these people. I love the sacrifices these people have made, their love for us. And there's nothing that brings me more joy than walking out from stadium and winning baseball games and bringing Florida State back on the map. You know, whether that may be a national championship or not, my main goal is just that. And, you know, that's the truth.
You know what's cool about that, James, is it was the NC State game y'all played on the Sunday when y'all even the series and that, and Diamez Ross came into the game, and it's five. Y'all ended up winning the game, I think, 8-1, but it was 5-1 at the time, and the bases were loaded. It's a tense moment in the sixth inning against a good team, and he makes that diving catch to end the inning and get out of the jam. And your reaction to that was not, because baseball can be such an individual sport. It can be a lot of guys thinking about, man, I'm 0-2. I'm not having a great weekend or whatever it may be for the other guys. Oh, nice play, Diamez, but what? Okay, great. You were so excited about that play and so excited for him. I think that pertains to what you're talking about, right? Like, it is, for you, it seems like it is about the team right now.
Yeah, it's pure joy. I want to win, right? And anything we could do to win is, I'm all for it. You know, there's no questions for me on what I want to do. And I mean, I think that does speak to it. I think that's evident because, you know, it's easy to be like, man, I'm 1-3 on the day. I got, you know, yada, yada, and I'm not swinging it well. And it's like, I can be focused on myself. But man, it's so much more fun. There's so much more joy in watching these guys succeed because it's what makes this game fun. It's what makes it a team, and it's how you win. And so, yeah, it's definitely been my main focus this year for sure.
I lied. Last thing on the way out, James. Suavemente, we going to ride that out the rest of the way?
Suavemente, yeah. We'll see. I've had some thoughts about changing it, but right now I think it's too much fun.
Didn't you have Johnny Cash?
I did. It was
good. Yeah, that was a banger, man. That's a great song.
It's a great song. It's one of my favorites. Did it in high school. Used it last year, then this year, and I absolutely love that song. We might go back to it here shortly. We're still thinking about it, but I've really enjoyed Suavemente. It's been hilarious and it's been amazing. So it's nice to kind of have a little different personality walking to the plate. I think that's also a testament to those guys. Just hey, I'm gonna have a little swagger. We'll have a little fun and do something a little different here. And that's kind of what's my thought process going into that. So love it. I've enjoyed it. Can't say I haven't. So
and Cal, I think Cal Fisher probably has the best walk up song because I'm an old guy.
Yeah,
Islands in the Stream is one of the great duets of all time. It is really weird that a 19 year old kid has that as his walk up song, but whatever.
Yeah, I talked to him, right? Fantastic. He's awesome. He's a good kid. Hey,
will you talk to us again either A, after winning the Super Regional, or B, or both after you get drafted and all that good stuff and you start your professional career?
We'd love to. Yes, sir. Would be happy to be on anytime you guys need it.
And you guys have been so much fun to watch this season. A large part of it is what you've accomplished for the team and sticking around, James. And we appreciate that. And we appreciate you taking time out. Good luck the rest of the way. James Tibbs, everybody.
Thank you all so much for having me.
Shout out again to James. That was great. We spoke to him a little bit afterwards. I did want to ask him like a last question, but we kept him for too long. I felt like I want to ask him about what it's like to be part of this new generation, maybe this latest generation, this first generation that really is all in on physical fitness and training and mobility exercises. He did tell us that he can squat a house. Upper body stuff, surprisingly, not his forte, like the bench press, things of that nature, but squats, our guy. And that's where the power generates from, everybody, right? Right? It's what Chubb said. It's all in the hips, everybody. It's all in the hips. All right, that's a wrap for today's show. We got another one for you folks on Friday. I think we're going to probably schedule it for Friday, I would assume. It's going to be a little of a look behind enemy lines, if you will. Nick Della Torre from Inside Gators. I think that's the name of the Florida Gators site on the On3 Network. And Matt Schodel from Kane Sport, which if you're listening to the podcast, you might want to watch the video because you probably just want to watch Matt's face. It's very punchable while you're listening to him gas up the Hurricanes. Good guy. Appreciate him taking time out. But oh, boy. Oh, boy. It's it might be exciting, everybody. Miami thinks they're back, everybody. Like, I know this is not a drill. It happens every year. I get it. But, man, they really think they're back. It's going to be kind of funny when they realize they're not back. So Friday show, we'll talk to a Gator rider, a Hurricane rider. We'll see how the Ravels are doing. To see how Florida State's doing, go to warchant.com, the ultimate Selma sports horse. Again, check out the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill in Tallahassee, Florida. VitaminEnergy.com, that promo code WarChantBogo. I should have kept like a sounder from Corey doing WarChantBogo, but I didn't. I'm going to go put on some sunscreen probably. I'm probably still seasick. I probably haven't had a really solid shower in a long time, so I trade places with you. For Corey, I'm Aslan. Thanks for listening to Wake Up War Champ, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.